differently here today, and we're kind of further along in the service. And some of our regular folks are thinking, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim is just now starting his message. We're all in trouble. No, today we're going to be receiving communion, and I'm going to be teaching a short message here, and then we're going to receive communion as a church family, and then we're going to head on up to the youth center where we're going to be watching many people get water baptized today. Also, the picnic will be going on, and we'll make sure that everything gets going. You know, when it came to this message for this Sunday morning, you know, with communion being served, I really just, you know, thought in myself, I thought, oh, I'll teach a short little message about communion, you know, and I'll just, you know, teach about the significance of communion, which we need to do. That's a good thing. We do that all the time around here. But, you know, something happened this past week. My wife and I, we were scheduled to, you know, be at the youth camp Wednesday. We were going to be there both morning and night. My wife was also there Tuesday morning. And I had a funeral to conduct out in Erie this past Tuesday evening, and there was a reception, a funeral reception out at our Erie church for a dear brother of ours who went on to heaven. And so there was a lot going on Tuesday, and my wife asked me, she said, do you know what you're speaking to the youth group guys there on Tuesday morning, or excuse me, Wednesday morning? And I told her, I said, I don't have a message yet. You know, I don't have a message. And so, you know, we got home from Erie that night. I started to, you know, turn some things around in my heart and my mind. You know, if you've ever ministered the Word of God, you know what I'm talking about. You're waiting for the Spirit to give you something. And here it is. It's just a few hours away. And you're thinking, man, I got to hear from God. And so you start piecing things together yourself. And I that night, nothing was really coming to me. So I got up super early on Wednesday morning, before 5 a.m., and I just was meditating, praying, and seeking God, and I started to get idea of a good youth group message, you know, and I said, Lord, please tell me, share with me what you would have me to say to these youth group guys that I spoke to on Wednesday morning, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said this, tell them about the Book of Life. Tell them about the Book of Life. And I'll tell you, it was nothing that I was meditating on. It was nothing that I was preparing. I hadn't been reading those scriptures. I hadn't thought about the Book of Life and the Word and all this and that. But the Lord said, tell them about the Book of Life. And I heard that several times. And to be honest, I've been hearing that all week. And I thought, well, we just be teaching a little something on communion here today. Well, no, I'm to tell you about the Book of Life. So turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Revelation chapter 20 and go to verse 12. And several of the youth group heard this both Tuesday morning with the guys, Wednesday morning with the guys, and Wednesday night with everybody. The Lord just kept having me share, you know, tell them about the Book of Life. And so I'm going to share with you today about the Book of Life. Go to Revelation 20, and we're going to start in verse 12. Folks, this is a time yet in the future when God will judge those that are dead, when people will stand before the great white throne of God and they will give an account of their lives before God. You might be saying, Pastor, are you seriously going to teach this on a youth group Sunday morning? Yes, I'm going to share it because this is what the Holy Ghost wants us to share. And no, it's not going to take very long, but it's going to be very important that we listen because you could say it this way because it's true. Our lives depend on it. Amen. Our lives depend on it. And so John the Apostle is writing this. The Lord was showing him the future of when those that have died will stand before the Lord at the great white throne and they will be judged. And look at this, what it says in Revelation 20 and in verse 12. It says this, John says, I saw the dead, small and great, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless if they're male or female, regardless if they're famous or unknown, it didn't matter. He said, I saw the dead, small and great. And I've got good news that if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you should look at this verse and see something that does not describe you. He says, I saw the dead. Now, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're alive. Amen. This is the judgment for those who don't know Christ. This is the judgment for those who don't know the Lord as their Savior. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, and they stood before God, and the books were opened. Everyone say books. Books. Well, let's say that again. Say books. Books. See, it's talking about that there are books, plural, in heaven. And we've got to know that. See, we have a book of God right here on this earth. It's called the Bible. But how many of you know in heaven that there are multiple books? And it's going to tell us what those books are for and what is in those books. It says that I saw the small, the dead, the small, the great. They stood before God. The books were opened and another book. So there's a bunch of books, plural. And then he says there's yet another book in heaven. And another book was opened, and that book is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, or according to their deeds, or according to their actions. Folks, I am here to tell everyone here today, and I've been telling folks all week long, that there are books in heaven that are recording everything you and I do in this life. That there are books that are recording all of our actions, all of our deeds, all of our works. And there's coming a day when those books will be opened in front of God. And the Bible says that the world will be judged out of those books. And so notice that the books, that there are multiple books, that is a reference to the books of works or the books of deeds. Every single one of us is writing a book of all of our actions that is being recorded in order for it to be read in heaven someday. Now, sometimes that makes us a little nervous, right? But we're going to talk about some good news with this, all right? Now, these books of deeds are being recorded, but we've got good news if we've made Jesus our Lord and Savior. See, and I'll just use myself as an example. I'm now 46 years old. I was 23 years old when I gave my life fully to Christ. That is when I believe I was born again. I was changed. Amen. And so for half of my life, I've been serving God. And then there was the first half of my life when I was not serving God. You know, there were times when I was a teenager and into my early 20s that I was, you know, sinning against God, living against God. And I'll be honest, I was running from God because I had been taught about the Lord as a kid. He was always speaking to me, and I was running from him all my young adult life until 23 years old. I finally surrendered to the Lord, and I tell you what, I'm glad that I did. But up until that time, there was a book that was being written in heaven. And it wasn't God writing that book about my life. It was me writing that book in my life. Because who is writing your book in heaven? It is not God. It is who? It is you. Because it says that these books are written according to their works. It is your actions that are being put on those pages. It is your words that are being recorded. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. The things that we say are being recorded in heaven. Why? Because God is not blamed. God will not be mocked. He will show us in heaven, a recording that basically what happened was sometimes things that we said. You know, things were can be a result of our actions. Not every time, but sometimes that can be the case. But when we don't know Jesus, that book is being written as judgment against you. And so for the first half of my life, especially in my young adult years, I was doing actions, you know, sinning against God. And that book was being written against me to stand before God that someday that God would open that book and say, you're being judged according to your actions. But at 23 years old, in January of 2002, I gave my life to Christ. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross. He shed his blood. He rose again. And it says he destroyed all the handwriting that was against you. So at 23 years old, that book of my sins was destroyed, and I got to start writing a new book of works. And if you're a Christian and you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the book of your works, which should be obedient to Christ, that will be used not against you someday, but that will be used so you get rewarded someday. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me just ask you, what book are you writing? What is going to be in your book that's going to be spoken in front of all of heaven? Yeah. Folks, we're doing that. These days on this earth are short, but they are very, very important. And notice the Bible says there is another book called the what? The book of life. Go down to verse 15 if you could. You can look right there in your Bibles. Look what it says about this book of life. And it says this, and whosoever, it's talking about their names. It says, and whosoever was not found written or have their name written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Folks, how many of you want to make sure that your name is in that book of life? Amen. I've got good news for you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your name is in that book of life. Glory to God. But there's coming a day, you know, when that book will be opened, and there's the books of our actions, all that we did, all that we said, and then there's the book of life that only contains names. And we want to make sure that our name is in that book. We should live a life worthy of having our name written in that book. We should desire to help put as many names in that book as possible. Everything we do, you know, should to get souls into the kingdom of God so that their names are written in the book of life. And I wasn't planning on sharing this today. I shared it this week. It's something that I have not shared many times publicly. About 8 months ago, the Lord started dealing with me, and he said that you're going to be sharing this, you know, more and more at some given point. Well, that point has arrived. That was 8 months ago. The Lord started dealing with me about that. And so I'm going to share it. Can you go with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 2? Go to Acts chapter 2. How many of you want your name in that book of life? Amen. Glory to God. How many of you have your name in the book of life? Praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, you might be saying, Pastor, this just seems heavy. And this almost seems kind of doomy and gloomy. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're going to end on a very high note because of what Jesus said about your names written in heaven. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Go to Acts 2:17, and I want to tell you a short testimony before we receive communion here today. And I'm going to read a few verses starting in Acts 2:17. It's talking about, this is a prophecy about the end days, and you and I happen to be living in these times right now. Go to Acts 2:17, and it says this, praise the Lord. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Everyone say last days. Folks, the Bible says that the last days began when Jesus rose again. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. It says, it will come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Glory to God. Look at verse 18. It says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice God says there's coming a time when he's going to pour out his spirit upon young people. Yes. He's going to pour out his spirit upon men and women alike. Yes. You know, don't you ever dare believe this nonsense that says that God can't use a woman just as much as he can use a man. He said he would pour out his spirit upon his sons and the daughters. It said that the sons and the daughters would prophesy and speak on behalf of God. It says that these young people and men and women would be filled with the Spirit of God, and they would be used mightily of God. And it says in verse 19, he says, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. It says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, say the last few words with me, shall be saved. Amen. And so why does God do these supernatural things? Why does God move in these mighty ways? Because he wants more names written in the book of life. When you're saved, your name is written in that book. It is our desire not only just to have our name in there. How many of you want your family's names? How many of you want your children's names, your grandparents, your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your coworkers? We want their names in that book, and God wants to manifest himself to you in a supernatural way in order that souls would come into the kingdom. So it would glorify Jesus, not glorify a man. Go back up to verse 17. I want to remind you of what it said. It says that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, meaning men and women. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And it says, notice this, it says, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Meaning God will supernaturally allow somebody to see something. He will allow even a young man or a young woman to see something that will change their lives and bring more souls into the kingdom of God. What does this have to do with the book of life? Well, I'm going to share something that happened to me many years ago as a young man. I'd still like to believe that I am a young man, but I'm a lot less so of a young man now, according says all the gray hairs on my head now. But when I was just about turning 19, I was just about 19 years old, and I had something happen to me that has stayed with me my entire life. And it would absolutely, and at the time, I didn't know that the Bible predicted that young men would see visions. I had no idea. I wasn't taught about visions. I had no clue. As a young man, I didn't know much about the Bible at all. When this happened to me, it wasn't something I was asking God for. It wasn't something I was praying about. I wasn't praying at all. I was running from God at age 19. I was very disobedient, and I was just a little bit older than, you know, some of these youth kids here today. And I wasn't, you know, drunk. I wasn't high. I wasn't doing anything like that at the time. I just went to bed at a very, you know, a normal time for me in those days. Didn't think anything of it. I was getting ready to move out and go to college and things like that. And something happened to me that was supernatural, and it is just as clear and vivid to me today as it was then. But what happened to me, and I had a couple things happen to me in that time of my life, and all of a sudden in this vision, I was standing at a very large table. And I knew there was a room. I knew there was an enclosure. I couldn't really see much of the details. But there was this very large table or desk. It looked very heavy. It was about 7 or 8 feet square. It was the same length on every side. And so it was a perfect square. It was light colored. I don't know what it was made out of. It didn't look like it had wood grain on it or anything like that. But I just remember thinking, this is a very imposing looking piece of furniture, if you want to call it that. And on the other side of the, if we'll call it a desk, on the other side of that table, there was two men standing there. And those men were very normal looking. I knew, though they didn't describe themselves this way, I knew in this vision, I knew they were angels. And it was very clear. It was like I'm standing with you here today. And those two men were standing there. They did not have wings. They did not, you know, fulfill, you know, all the descriptions. How many of you know in the Bible there are angels with wings and there's some that don't have wings? And we could get into all that, but they looked very regular, so to speak. Though I knew they were angels, and yes, they, for whatever reason, they were masculine looking. And I looked across that table, and on the center of this table, there was a huge book. And it, too, was a perfect square. It was smaller than the table. I would say it was maybe 3 or 4 feet across. It was a perfect square, and it was very large, very thick, a very huge book. I've never seen a book like that ever in my life. I stood there, I saw that book, I saw those two men, and I'm just looking across this table at them, and one of them looks at me and says, "What is your name?" And oh boy, get ready. You're going to have to bail me out because I get emotional every time I haven't shared this very much publicly, but anytime I talk about it, you know, it gets me worked up. So bear with me. And so he says, "What is your name?" And I looked at him and I never knew about the Book of Life at 19 years old. But I knew I wanted my name in there. And I said, "My name is Timothy Stallman." I just gave him my name just like that. That's how I said it. And he heard my name. He looked down and he opened this ginormous book, went right to the page, and he put his finger on the page, kind of like we would do in the old days with a phone book. How many of you remember the phone book? Man, we don't do those anymore. You know, they still pass them out, and now they're paper thin. Remember when you could sit on a phone book to see over, you know? You could stand on a phone book to reach the top cupboards or whatever, and now phone books are no bigger than a pamphlet because we have these smartphones with us. But anyway, he put his finger on this page, and I could see the page from where I was standing, and I saw that it had many columns, and I could see that there were names in this book. And I don't know, no one told me, but I knew I wanted my name in that book. And he put his finger on the page and he went like this and he stopped. And I could see across that table, I could see into that book and I could see and read the name Timothy Stallman was written on the page. And when I could see that, I got flooded with a feeling of relief. I was so relieved. I was so glad. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can see my name. I am so glad my name is in that book. But he stops, he leaves his finger right on that page, and he looks up at me. He says, "Your name is not in here." And I said, "Yes, it is." And I had this feeling of panic. Panic does not even describe what came over me. It was dread. I've never and never will ever experience a feeling of dread like that in my life. And I started to argue with this angel. I said, "I saw my name. I saw Timothy Stallman written on that page. I saw it." I didn't even know how I knew to proclaim my case. I just knew my name had to be in that book. And when I heard that it wasn't in that book, I was covered with such dread. I started to plead my case because I could see the name Timothy Stallman written on that page. I said, "I see my name. Don't tell me." You know, I just put up an argument. And he's got his finger on that page. He looks up at me. He says, "That is not your name. That is your dad's name. My dad is Timothy Stallman." And I knew, and I absolutely knew growing up, I just always, and still do to this day, I'm, very just grateful for my dad's influence. Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. And I always, and again, I still do, I revere him, you know, as a Christian man. And I think it's time for, we did somebody... Toast. Yes, there you go. I told the kids this youth, that youth group about toast. If you're new to Family Church, you're wondering what that is. It started in our Erie church that when I start getting caught up emotionally, I tell people, usually it's Reverend Justin, I say something funny. Bail me out of this. And there was a woman in our Erie church, out of nowhere one day, she just goes, "Toast." And I said, "Where'd you get that, sister?" She's like, "I don't know. It's the first word that jumped into my mind." And so that's now the new bailout word, right? And the youth kids, they learned it, and there we go. We're getting bailed out. So see how it allows me to proceed? And so I knew that, the angel told me it was my dad's name, and I knew my dad as a godly Christian man. And I felt for a few seconds the dread that would come over any human being that is ever told that their name is not written in the Book of Life. Folks, never, never, never allow yourself to come to that moment where an angel would have to look at you and say, "Your name is not found there." I felt for a couple of seconds the dread of knowing that I was lost and there was no way of getting myself back. If you're at the Book of Life and your name is not in there, when you are told that, when that day comes in Revelation chapter 20, There will be no getting it back. There will be no hope. But all the hope is right here, right now, in this lifetime. You've got all the hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus is alive, and he told all of us that if you'll call upon his name, he will save you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I had that experience, and it branded me. And you say, well, Pastor, you must have just become instantly the best Christian that ever walked on the earth. No, I didn't. It took me another 3.5 years of running from God, of disobeying God, before I finally came to the place where I got down on my knees before the Lord. And I remember I just drew a line literally in the carpet that I was kneeling on. And I said, Lord, I'm drawing a line in the sand, so to speak. I'm going over it, and I'm not coming back. It was that day that I gave my life to Christ. And it was that day when my name was written in that book of life. My name is not absent anymore. My name is right there, because me and my dad and my son, you know, and we've, there's probably a few other Timothy Stallmans, you know, in the world somewhere that are Christians. Hopefully there's a few Timothy Stallmans in that book, and I'm one of them. Glory to God. I know I'm one of them. Praise the Lord. But ask yourself this question. Is your name in that book? Is your name in that book? If you are unsure in any way, get sure. Get sure. Because you don't want to experience that feeling of dread, of knowing that you are going to be cast away out of God's presence. Because Jesus already experienced that dread for you. Remember on the cross, right before Jesus died on the cross? Remember what he did? Remember what he said? He all of a sudden looked up and he shouted with a loud voice. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus at that moment was experiencing the doom of anyone who would die in their sins without redemption. Christ was wondering, why is God turning his back on him? Because at that moment, Jesus was being made sin for you and me. At that moment, he was taking that sin upon him, feeling that sense of dread, so that you and I will never, never know that dread ever in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now we will end with this. Are you ready? Can you bring up Luke? You can flip over there if you want to, or I'll just put it right on the screen. Where is that verse? Can you bring up Luke 10:20? I don't have it written down. I just believe that this is the verse. Here's the high note. Are you ready? How many of you have your name in that book? Glory to God. Here's what we're doing. Jesus was talking to his disciples about casting out demons. Glory to God, which is for us even to this day. And Jesus says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. You know what? That always really was like, wow. We can't rejoice over somebody getting free from demonic oppression? Well, Jesus is just making a point here. He's not saying you can't be happy about it. He's saying that in general comparison, there is something a lot better than casting out demons that you can rejoice about, be happy about. He says, rejoice not that the spirits or the demons are subject to you, but rather, everyone say it, rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Folks, even if we have to drum up the feeling of relief, even if we have to drum up the gratitude, even if we've got to force ourselves to be grateful for this redemption, let's be grateful for it. And folks, we're going to